Good morning, everyone. Appreciate you arriving at this early hour. We have first Board of Regents special budget approval meeting scheduled for 9:30. We are now called to order. Ask our secretary to call the roll.
Dr. Bell?
Present.
Dr. Birch?
Here.
Dr. Dennison?
Here.
Mr. Higdon?
Here.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Porter?
Here.
Mr. Ritchie?
Here.
Mr. Wrigley? Dr. Smith?
Here.
And Mr. Zilke.
Thank you. We have a quorum in attendance and are lawful to conduct business. The first item on our agenda today is from the Finance and Budget Committee, and I call on Chair of that committee, Regent Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just an opening comment. We, on Monday, as most of you know, we had a special called meeting of the Finance Committee, Finance and Budget Committee, at which time we handmade what I thought was a very thorough presentation of the budget, and subject to questions and answers. And the Finance Committee approved the budget. I believe it was unanimous. Am I mistaken?
Yes.
Okay. So it is technically a consent agenda item, but it's the only consent agenda item we have for today's meeting and agenda. So before we proceed with any comments or questions on this particular item, I will entertain a motion to approve the budget and tuition increase as approved by the Finance and Budget Committee, which is identified as action item number one. Any motions? Sorry, who?
Regent Birch.
Oh, I'm Regent Birch. Motion. Any seconds?
Second.
She was first. I'm sorry. Regent Dennison. Any comments or questions before a vote? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
If I can have a quick question, is this an official vote on the budget and tuition increase?
Yes.
Yes.
I have prepared remarks I'd like to say before we take the official vote. I was under the impression there was a presentation before we took the vote.
No, the presentation was actually on Monday.
Okay.
I mean, at the committee meeting, which is the process we follow and
okay.
have followed.
Just wanted to make sure. But I do have certain statements I'd like to say before the official vote is taken.
Well, since this is a board meeting, that's the chair's call.
Okay. I'll make this brief, but I've come with prepared remarks to ensure they're added to the minutes verbatim and to express my concern for both the operating budget and the proposed tuition increase. I have concerns about three areas. First, the dramatic cut to WKU track and field. Second, the effective elimination of the WKU Institute for Citizenship and Social Responsibility, the ICSR. And third, the tuition increase coupled with the burden of the budget cuts not being shared across the WKU community and rising cost of college. Before I address each of these, I want to make it very clear that I, as a constituency regent, believe the board's role is not just advisory or laissez-faire. If the board believes the wrong decision has been made on any level, I believe the board has the power to speak up and oversee the implementation and the outcomes of decisions. There must be an oversight on accountability, and the board always has the choice to step up to the plate if it so chooses. First, the dramatic cut to track and field, eliminating half of their budget, is deeply unsettling. Our university is clearly sending a resounding message that if you do not generate revenue for the university, you are not a priority. As one of the most academically successful and competitive athletic teams at our university, every student involved with track and field deserves a student regent on this board that will stand up for them. Regardless of how a $261,000 reduction affects these student athletes, this will certainly have a negative impact on a very successful athletic team that is truly valuable to the Hilltopper community. In conclusion, I will always suggest a solution once I have identified a problem. As such, my solution would be instituting a 3% across-the-board cut in the total athletic budget. When facing these tough cuts, each WKU athletic team should bear the burden equally, and no student-athlete should be deprived the opportunity to compete at the D1 level. Because that was not the decision, I cannot in good conscience support this aspect of the budget. Second, I'm extremely disappointed with the effective elimination of the Institute for Citizenship and Social Responsibility. While we are calling this a consolidation, there's an implication that both sides consented to such an action. I have been informed multiple times that Dr. Judy Rohr, former director of the ICSR, was not consulted before the decision was made, and I'm not comfortable approving a budget that condones that. Moreover, I believe we're using a budget cuts to justify a political move designed to suppress the purpose of the ICSR, encouragement of independent thinking, and instilling within students a passion for fighting for social justice causes. Reductions to a cutting-edge academic program by redistribution of its operating budget is not a prudent solution. I'd also like to make it clear that I believe the Alive Center does great work, but it must be understood that both the ICSR and the Alive Center have fundamentally different purposes. The former is an academic bastion of progress. The latter is a hands-on community connector. As such, consolidating the two is a euphemism for diluting both causes, especially the ICSRs. We have to look at what is best for all parties, and this is certainly not what is best for the ICSR. My solution is non-erasure. We should not erase programs that have grown leaps and bounds over the past few years and instead identify other alternatives that would reduce specific budgets equally and not result in the merging or dissolution of one academic program. This is a university. Our academic mission is primary. Third, I want it to be clear that as much as I dislike the circumstances, I'm not inherently opposed to a tuition increase, although I firmly believe the cost of college in 2016 is outrageous. However, I cannot in good conscience vote in favor of a tuition increase unless the burden is shared across the WKU community. As such, I do not see a commitment of sharing the burden of these budget cuts on the administrative level. And let me be clear, compared to other universities our size, our administrative salaries are not out of line, and this is certainly not an attack on any one person. The problem is that there is a clear perception that while we cut student programming, student resources, and full-time vacant faculty and staff positions, senior-level administrative positions and up appear to have sailed this budget storm smoothly. If student tuition is going to rise, vacant faculty positions are being cut, and many staff members are seeing their jobs privatized, I expect for something to also be forfeited by those who enjoy the most privileged positions at our university. I do not believe that is too radical or too much to ask. Again, this is neither a personal attack against anyone nor a method by which I wish to dodge ensuring our faculty and staff receive a much-needed salary increase, but it is my responsibility to be the defender for the WKU student body during times such as this. These are my reasons for withholding support for both the proposed 2016-2017 operating budget and tuition increase. In good conscience and after much research, I'll cast my vote with integrity. I'm open to any questions from members of the board. Thank you for letting me speak on this.
Thank you, Richie. Any of the regents would like to have a comment, that's perfectly welcome. And also would make you aware that certain officials of the administration are here today to directly give the other side of the story to the comments that that Regent Ritchie has made. So it's not my goal to have a protracted budget meeting this morning. We obviously spent some time last Monday and went through this, but call on if any of the regions would like.
Well, I can say something unless I'm interrupted. I don't mean to. I probably would prefer someone else to comment about ICSR or something of that nature. But as chairman of the Finance and Budget Committee, I think it's unrealistic to look at the budget process as we do across the board cuts. That's just not how budgets operate in any institution, profit or nonprofit. You have to look at those aspects in your operations, be they a university, be they a business, that are productive, that enhance and move forward your goals and your mission. Here, academics, as I agree with you, Jay Todd, academics is absolutely the key, the goal. But you cannot cut across the board carte blanche just in the name of equality, because it doesn't exist. What happens is then you start to erode those programs, that faculty, that staff that are the best producers or achieve or accomplish the goals that the university or the organization sets forth. In the budget process for the athletic department, what I found is that there were across-the-board cuts for about $1 million, except for track and field. Yes, you are right. Track and field took the largest hit. About $250,000 to $60,000 of that hit went to their operating expenditures. They lost three scholarships. There were 27 scholarships. 24 of those scholarships have been retained. Last year, they lost 9. So you can look at it as an improvement if in those terms. But you can take any statistic you want. You can put it together, and you can come up with the conclusion that you want to come up with. And you can't be emotional in the response to the budget. The budget is a process that rests exclusively with the administration. It's in our bylaws. It's in our code of ethics. Regents have the obligation and responsibility to establish policy, in my opinion. And I understand you disagree with that. But it's a written policy. This administration are the people that know how to proceed with the budget. They have since 1906. And in that light, I think it's a little naive to think that everything can be done across the board. It hurts faculty, it hurts staff to cut it in that particular fashion.
Mr. Chairman, moving on to the other subject, may I suggest that we address that in the academic committee meeting? We have Provost Lee, Dean George, who are in charge of the ICSR and Alive program, so I think they are prepared to.
Good.
Let me
remind the board that from day one, as soon as Governor Bevin made his budget address and we knew approximately where we were heading in terms of a budget reduction, we have generally followed across the board measures since 2008 and all the budget cuts that have preceded this one, well over $30 million in state reductions and in county allocations. But I made it clear through legislative testimony, through media accounts, through interviews, through communication, pretty extensive with this board, that we would not be following an across-the-board approach this time, that we were going to select specific programs that could either be eliminated, consolidated, or merged, and we were going to be very selective and to protect as many jobs, as many salaries as we possibly could across the faculty and staff, and that's what we did. We ended up with 24 programs that were impacted, and everything else was pretty much spared. There were some vacant positions eliminated, and certainly employees and facilities that switched their employment status in order to save money on benefits. But for the most part, it was a specific program approach we took, and I would suggest that if we have budget cuts again in the future, that's the approach that will have to be taken. So an across-the-board approach simply is not practical. It may be possible, but if that approach is taken in the future, there will be programs that on which the university depends that will not be able to deliver those services because operating budgets are pretty well depleted in a number of areas, including financial affairs. So there shouldn't be any surprise at this juncture, a week before the end of the fiscal year, that we did not take an across-the-board approach. So that's... If I fail to communicate the process we were following, then that's on me, but I don't think that I failed to communicate that.
No, Barbara wanted to say something.
I don't know which chair I'm addressing. Chair.
Whichever,
ma'am. I think one of the difficulties on this is that we had expensive discussion in the budget committee, but not everyone is able to attend the budget committee. And one of the things that I think is important is to be able to explain to people who ask us the rationale behind something or at least our comfort level with it. And I'd like to suggest that it's not unreasonable to take just a few minutes and at least let whoever can shed a little light on this. For example, I think we're all bothered by track and field, but what I'd like to know more than the fact that it was cut is what are we going to do to ensure the opportunities for those athletes to participate. I understand we've got some Olympic competitors, and it is an excellent program, probably one of our best academic athletic programs. And so as a board member, I think my concern is less that it was cut, although I'm concerned, than it is what might we be doing to ensure sustainability and opportunity for those student athletes. And I think same thing with the comments about the ICSR. I think it would be worth it to take a few minutes to at least allow that response. Somebody in here, Mr. Chair, must be able to comment on that, and it's valuable for us to know it, including the ICSR perception. I think I shared burden. I didn't interpret that to mean across the board as much as I thought I heard you say perception of where cuts were taken. And so, I mean, this was a tough job to get a budget. I understand that. There's going to be pain. And Dr. Bale, I think discussion in the academic committee is appropriate, but once we approve the budget, it bypasses the opportunity to clarify. So could we, Mr. Chair, maybe ask the athletic director or the provost or somebody to just briefly discuss these and add a note of clarification?
Let me respond to that? Just I want to say one thing. I'll defer to Freddie, but let me make one comment, and I hope Jay Todd would agree with this. Jay Todd and I had at least a couple of conversations, and we've exchanged numerous emails. So I've attempted to, don't know if I have or not, but I've attempted to respond to your questions about the budget. I mean, you can say otherwise you want to, but at least whoever wanted to, Barbara, you and I discussed it. A lot of people have talked about it privately among themselves. So a lot of that's gone out, and I want to clarify that. I mean, I realize you weren't here, but the conversations did ensue between the two of us, did they not?
They did, yes. I understand.
As far as the other, I guess Provost Lee could respond to that, however you want.
Let me ask the provost.
I think, you know, our board is very transparent. We're going to continue that. I think it's appropriate to have a few comments to address those issues since they've been raised. I'd like to call on David Lee to address as briefly as possible the ICSR, because I do think we've had exchanges amongst the board members about this topic as well as our committee meeting on Monday. But in recognition of the subject being brought up, let's have a brief.
Let me try to give you the Reader's Digest version, and if you want something more along the lines, the Encyclopedia Britannica, we can sort of expand out as we might need to. I guess one thing I would, well, kind of a starting point for me, is that I think something that the Alive Center and that ICSR have in common is that they both sit at kind of the nexus between the broader community and opportunities for particularly undergraduate students, although not only undergraduate students. They're about taking the kinds of classroom experiences that students have and moving them in many cases outside the classroom into the community. It's about that interaction. It's about that connection. It's about the university being down the hill and out into the communities. And I think that's a fundamental thing that both of these have in common. And that's why I think at the end of the day, they are compatible and that they can be consolidated into a working and effective unit. In terms of ICSR, I think it's important to keep in mind that ICSR has not really lost anything. There has been no cut to the budget in the Department of Diversity and Community Studies, which is where ICSR is housed. There are two faculty lines that are associated with this program. Both of those faculty lines are there. So in terms of cuts to ICSR, there really haven't been any cuts to ICSR specifically. There has been a $150,000 cut to the Alive Center. And in terms of the Alive Center, they had a position that was vacant, and they have lost that. They have another position that is filled, but that person has been reassigned to another unit. And I think the understanding is that she will also continue to be involved in some of the work related to the Alive Center and ICSR. But to the extent that there have been cuts, those cuts have gone to the Alive Center side of things. We are in the process of discussing best ways to go forward with this. Leah Ashwell, who has been the director of the Alive Center, is the new director of this new consolidated unit that we're in the process of creating. She and I have talked about some of the plans she has for consulting with the constituencies of both organizations, talking about the kinds of programming that might emerge out of this. But I think fundamentally, it seemed to me as provost that the work that both of these entities were doing was important to the institution. They needed to continue to be a presence here, but given our budget pressures, we have moved in the direction of consolidating these two units.
Thank you, Provost Lee. Let me call on Todd Stewart, see if they'll to address the track and field. Again, Todd, if you would do the Reader's Digest version.
Sure, I'd be glad to. You know, since I became athletic director a little over 4 years ago, we've had close to $4 million in reductions to athletics. So we have no easy cuts to make, and we haven't in quite some time. Certainly, track faced more than our other sport programs and departments did with this cut. But we've also made cuts each of the last 4 years, of which track received no cuts. So this is the fifth year now that we've made cuts. It's the first time track and field's been affected. What I would really like to point out, though, is we did take the interest of the student at heart, and we had 27 undergraduate track athletes. 24 of those 27 have the opportunity to come back to Western Kentucky under the exact same grant and aid. So, Dr. Birch, to your point about preserving the All-Americans, we have. I mean, 24 of the 20, and the three who could come back that won't are transferring elsewhere. So, and what does that mean? Well, again, Reader's Digest version, in many sports, not just track and field, but baseball, softball, soccer, swimming and diving, which obviously we didn't have this year, but in many of those sports, the scholarships vary from year to year, and athletes know that. They're one-year renewals. They vary from year to year. Last year in track and field, when we had no budget cuts to the program, 9 undergraduate athletes had their scholarships non-renewed. Again, this year only 3 have. So despite the huge challenges, budget cut, we did everything with the interest of the student in mind, and I feel like we've done a good job of that.
Thank you. Ann Mead, as our Chief Financial Officer, any Reader's Digest summary or rounding out that you could add to the topic this morning without plowing new ground?
No, sir, probably the shortest presentation I've ever done. What I would like to do is to make sure that all the regions have a copy of the PowerPoint that was presented on Monday, and I'll offer to meet with anyone individually to answer any questions that you may have about the budget. When you're asked to approve a $402 million budget, it's a complex organization and it's a complex budget, so I'd be delighted to meet with anyone individually to answer questions that they may not want to raise today.
Is there any?
I'm sending around Regent Birch mentioned the academic performance of track and field, which has been very good, but to put in context, here's a list of all team GPAs for all region sports, so you can have some sense that athletic teams, and while theirs is good, it's not as good as several of our programs. I'll check the men and women's track and men and women's cross country columns for you. And if
can't resist, they
thought if there's those, you'll send those back.
Sure.
Can't resist commenting, Gary. Thank goodness for the women.
Well,
thank goodness what?
I agree with you on that one.
Before I call the regents on any other questions, I do want to take this opportunity to lead into that that offer by, again, thanking Ann and her staff for the heavy lift that they had in a short period of time. I also want to congratulate and thank each of the board members for their engagement in the process. I thought that that it was commendable and exemplary in the diligence and whatnot that the board engaged in this trying time. I want to thank Gil Johnson once again for not only chairing the budget committee, but remember we reached out during the year with our faculty, staff, compensation dynamics and the work that Gilb has done. But overall, I feel like this board has been fully engaged in the budget process. And more importantly, it's good this morning that we can ask these questions. So to Jay Todd and Barbara and Philip and Gil and all of us here, the transparency is important. And we probably will continue to face trying times. So with that being said, any follow-up questions?
Let me make one comment, too, about it. I think we're all concerned about the cost of higher education.
Give me a chance. I promise it's not bad.
I think one thing that, as members of the Western Kentucky University family, we can say with absolute honesty, we've got a heck of a value here. And you know, the rising cost is because of government support going away. You have very little wiggle room to find other solutions to it. But one, going forward, I think one of our best assets that we as a board and as a family need to sell is that Western Kentucky University offers a heck of a value in higher education.
Well, sir. Regent Smith, I know you've asked.
Yes, just one comment. First, I want to kind of echo what you said. I appreciate the work that Ann Mead and her staff have done to put a budget together with so many variables in place and not knowing things until the last minute, and it was a huge task, and I commend you for that. I just want to point out, too, I support the budget. We've had long discussions on it. There's not everything that everyone's going to like, but just to acknowledge that, you know, there were five staff members who lost positions. Most of those have been relocated, maybe not at the same equivalent salary as they had before, but that if you're one of those five people, it is important. It's significant. And for the 200-plus, you know, staff members and facilities who were privatized, I mean, that was, you know, they're such a valued part of the university. And granted, had we not done that, there would have been a significant number of people who would have lost positions. So, you know, it was a move to make, but it's still, you know, significant for those people. And then so there have, you know, been a large number of staff whose lives have been kind of changed significantly because of some of this. But again, I mean, overall, I think, you know, the budget, Gil Johnson has done an amazing job working with everyone and the input that we've all been able to have. But it's, you know, it's tough. It's a tough to come up with this type of budget and this size budget and to make the changes we need to make with the challenges that we were faced. They're external that we cannot control. So, but I just did want to recognize some of the staff and some of the impact it's had on them.
Thank you. Any other comments from Regents?
Well, I've made the comments that I wanted to make, and I prepared them for a long time. And again, I don't want to make it redundant, but it has taken a lot of work to put this budget together, and I commend that very hard work. I believe that students deserve someone who represents them to ask questions, to have questions about why them. Why do some groups of students get to face these cuts more than others? And I don't think it would be fair to them to just stay silent on the issue. I've made the statements I need to say. That's not to discredit the work or the clarifications provided, but I'm much more comfortable letting my voice be heard knowing that these students have someone that represents them.
Thank you. Regent Josh, I think I hijacked your finance and budget committee. So
it's all right.
Let me kind of scoot that baton back to you. And
well, then, no further discussion. Then I'll call for the question. And all those in favor of the budget and the tuition increase as set forth in action item number one, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
There's one no. They're recorded. So majority carries the budget and tuition have been approved.
Thank you very much. Any other business out of finance and budget?
Nope, I'm no. Blank sheet.
Take a look, Regents, at our other business upcoming calendar events. In particular, note our retreat on the 21st and 22nd of July. Convocation on presidential. Any tidbits on our retreat, or do you?
Julia has been working on a number of the details. We will have our retreat meeting, our retreat discussion meetings, in the Honors College International Center, and we will have an evening function at the Baker Museum that evening. And then the board meeting on Friday will be here in this room.
At this point, we've concluded our noted agenda items for today's special budget approval meeting.
I move we adjourn.
Motion by Regent Johnson to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Regent Smith. Any other discussion? All in favor of adjournment? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Passed unanimously. That concludes our budget meeting.